This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. In the Benetti family treasure trove of keepsakes, there's a letter Jason Benetti wrote in elementary school explaining what he wanted to be when he grew up. Jason doesn't quite remember which teacher gave him the assignment, but the guy who grew up a baseball fan in Chicago's south suburbs knows what he wrote.
I said, I want to be the White Sox announcer. And then at the end, I wrote in large letters, yes. A hat tip to Hawk Harrelson. You know, he would say, you can put it on the board. Yes.
Stretch. Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Yes.
Jason had big dreams and one big obstacle to overcome. Only a Game's Kyrie Thompson has the story.
Jason Benetti remembers practicing to be a sports broadcaster when he was 12 years old, doing voice impressions of Chicago White Sox announcer Hawk Harrelson. His announcing booth? Whatever living room he and his friends were playing video games in.
So I would play Madden or whatever baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. baseball.
Oh,
or
yes.
Whatever. Yeah, right?
Yes.
NHL 94, like that sort of thing. And I would do play-by-play of the games while I was playing with my friends.
When the games were on, Jason was in his element, having fun like any other kid. But he wasn't just any other kid. Jason was diagnosed with cerebral palsy as a toddler. He grew up hearing other kids making comments about the way he struggled to make eye contact and the way he walked.
You can't see me, but I walk with sort of a halting gait. When people see it, they don't really know what to make of it at first. I mean, I in first grade at points was at school in a wheelchair and then had like the Forrest Gump leg braces.
Jason had a passion for sports, but he wasn't able to play in organized leagues. So he tried out for the marching band at Homewood Flossmoor High School. You'd figure he'd pick up an instrument that was light and easy to carry, right? Wrong.
Oh, let me go play the tuba because it's the largest musical instrument, like David against Goliath. Let's go do it, writ large. When instead I could have just played the trumpet.
So, how'd that go?
They put a tuba on a stand for the first couple of tries at marching band for me, and basically the band would go kind of in orbit around the planetary me, which is like, if you're not trying to draw attention to yourself, not a great way to do it.
The school band instructor could see Jason was struggling, but didn't want him to feel left out. So he suggested another way for Jason to stay involved.
He sent me up to the top of the press box and had me announce the sets. And I would say, coming up next, Our Children or Wheels of a Dream or whatever it was.
Jason used his announcing gig to get into his high school's radio program.
I think like how very transparent I was about everything. Like, oh, let me go do radio because you can't see me.
Jason graduated from high school in 2001 and continued his radio broadcasting career at Syracuse University. Before long, he was running Syracuse's sports radio department. On the surface, everything was great. But Jason's rise through the ranks also dug up some familiar issues.
I get hired as the sports director, and one of the people who ended up not getting the job put up on Instant Messenger, at least he'll be a great story for somebody's magazine one day.
Jason began to wonder if his disability was all people would ever see in him.
There was a level of, I can't make a mistake, because if I make a mistake, people are going to then go back to what they saw and think that I'm just incapable of doing not only this job, but any job.
So Jason pressed on even harder. After graduating from Syracuse in 2005, he then started a decade-long stint as a minor league baseball radio announcer, while getting a law degree from Wake Forest University. The intense schedule and nagging doubts started to weigh on him.
In the minors, there are just days when you've had games 14 straight days and six-hour bus rides in between, and all of that that comes with it drains you completely and thoroughly wears you out. And there were moments where I was like, am I going to get out of here? Like, I know I'm good, but when is great gonna come?
Jason realized working in TV could help get him to the top, so he put aside his reservations about being in front of the camera, landing a part-time broadcaster job with ESPN in 2011. he started traveling the country to call college football games. His career was taking off, but he still had moments of frustration.
I'm at a college football game. I'm at my hotel, and I ask the woman at the Starbucks in the hotel to make a drink. And she looks at me and she goes, "Would you like this size or this size?" And then I start to think, well, what if she had 100 people? Would she talk that slowly to them? And that's the insidious part, right? Is I shouldn't spend mental energy on that because she doesn't mean anything by it.
Jason was still waiting for his big break when Chicago baseball found him again in 2015.
I was living in the D.C. area and the Cubs came to play the Nationals.
Jason had sent Chicago Cubs TV announcer Len Casper tapes of his work in the past, and the two had struck up a relationship.
So I asked Len, "Do you want to go to lunch?" when the Cubs were in to play the Nats, and he said, "I can't. It's like a two-game series," or whatever it was. "But after the first game, we're going to go watch the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Finals. You should come."
Jason took Len up on the offer. Soon after that meeting, Casper mentioned Jason's name to a few people in the White Sox organization as a possible future replacement for Hawk Harrelson, Jason's childhood idol. Hawk was 74 years old at the time. As the 2015 MLB season wound down, reports trickled out that the longtime voice of the White Sox was scaling back his workload with retirement in sight. Jason got in touch with Brooks Boyer, the White Sox head of marketing, and asked if they could meet. Brooks agreed. Jason went in expecting an informal meet and greet. It wasn't. Brooks had brought several high-ranking members of the White Sox communications department with him.
I ended up being in this room for a couple of hours, and it was a full-fledged interview.
Despite being caught off guard, Jason felt good about the interview. But the team told him there was one big meeting needed to seal the deal.
"Oh, the last step is meeting Jerry. Which, oh, no pressure. Like, don't look down from the top of the John Hancock building."
Jerry is Jerry Reinsdorf, owner and chairman of the Chicago Bulls and White Sox. In December 2015, Jason was sitting in Reinsdorf's office.
And you're looking around and it's like, oh, here are six championships and random Michael Jordan paraphernalia that everyone would kill to have. And then he walks in and offers me a cigar and I don't smoke. And I think the world is over.
Weeks came and went and Jason heard nothing from the White Sox. Over the years, he had set aside his childhood dream of working for the Sox, instead focusing on just being the best announcer he could be. But once the opportunity was within his grasp,
then I started to say, oh, I really need to be the Sox announcer again, because it kindles this flame inside of you when you get close to this thing that you wanted as a kid. And it was like, please just let him certify this.
The White Sox finally called after the new year. The job Jason Benetti had wanted since he was in elementary school was his. Jason couldn't believe it. The kid who used to do impressions of Hawk Harrelson would soon sit in the legendary broadcaster's seat.
Like, the odds of that happening are so infinitesimally small, I get that. But the odds of Hawk remaining in the job and have me be the one to actually take over for him is... They're even smaller.
Jason couldn't help but feel the butterflies before his first regular season call for the White Sox, their 2016 home opener against the Cleveland Indians. But he wasn't alone. 10 college friends flew to the ballpark to enjoy the moment with him and keep Jason loose.
We had a running gag in college that parties are better when there are pineapples at the party. So we would always get a pineapple and just have it sitting at our parties. I don't know how it started. I don't know why it started. But I do know that when I walked into the booth for my first White Sox game, there was a pineapple at my seat. Like, what are we doing here?
Whether because of the joke or because he'd done it hundreds of times before, the first game flew by for Jason. The second did too, until the seventh inning.
Avi Garcia hit a homer for the Sox.
Avi to right field. Cal Gill is back, still going, it is gone! Three-run home run, Avi Garcia breaking it.
And the ball cleared the fence, and I made the call, and I don't know why, but, like, I started to well up, and it was like, I'm 12 again. And it all kind of rushed back to me, And I still don't know exactly what it was. And I keep leaning on the power of sports and how much our childhood experiences color who we become.
Jason officially became the full-time White Sox play-by-play man this past season. He also broadcasts college football on fall weekends. The kid who avoided the camera growing up is making his voice and face known throughout the country. And he says he's learned something from a lifetime of being different.
Embrace the fact that you're weird or strange. That thing that is weird about you is probably the thing that's most fiery and most cared for deep inside of you. And if you follow that weird thing, you're probably going to be a pioneer.
That story came from Only a Game's Kyrie Thompson.